Welcome to the Nerd Alternative Podcast, a sweet melting pot of all things nerdy. Today is just two solemn bros. We have Hassan and myself. It's just us today, guys. I mean, I feel like this is when the best conversation, the craziest things could happen. Who knows?
There is no filter this episode. We're just going to get real weird with it.
That's exactly it. So we're going to have a bit of a cool conversation ahead of E3. I guess talking about this generation so far or the lack of it.
Mm.
But, you know, we're going to go through some new things because a lot of things are happening at the moment. It feels like the drought of content is over. And I'm going to start with Loki, which will be out by the time this drops, maybe 2 days. But as of recording this, the first episode will be out. And you know what, Hassan? I don't know if you've noticed this, but I feel like me personally, I don't know what I've clicked on, what cookies have been stashed on my phone and computer, but I'm getting a lot more low-key marketing than I have for any of the other Disney Plus shows so far. You know, maybe it's just I'm noticing it more. I don't know. Am I the only one?
I think it's maybe you.
Never mind.
I was having this conversation. I've had this conversation with a few friends, actually, where I was like, I tend to only get spoiled when I talk about spoilers or like when I start talking about how bad spoilers get on the internet. Then I find spoilers. And I'm like, when I don't think about it, like I don't get any advertising. But as soon as like we lock off this recording, I'm really feeling like I'm getting a wave of Loki stuff like coming my way.
I mean, have you got a Chrome tab open?
Damn if it. You do,
I mean, no, it's not even like I'm not even hearing conversation on like social media. I mean, I'm literally seeing sponsored ads or I don't know, and I'm just like, I keep forgetting that Loki's coming and then being reminded and being like, oh yeah, it's coming. Like, do you get what I mean? Like, I'm just an advert here and there and you know.
Yeah, like I remember when you did the outline and you were like, oh yeah, it's coming. I totally forgot. And then like this morning, I was talking to someone about Loki and I was like, oh shit, when is it out? It's like, it's out tomorrow. Oh no. Like
literally. But yeah, hopefully it's gonna keep up the pace from Falcon and Winter Soldier and WandaVision. We have high hopes.
Yeah,
but yes, moving on to some other good news. The Queen, Issa Rae, has been cast as Jessica Drew, also known as Spider-Woman, in Into the Spider-Verse 2. Great news. We love to see it. We love to hear it. Like,
I'm so excited.
We are very big fans of Issa Rae over here and everything she does. So, congrats. I don't have, if you have anything more to say on that, I don't actually know who else is in that's been cast in that film so far, you know?
Yeah, I've not. I think again, I just like, as soon as my brain doesn't pay attention, I stop getting adverts, and I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. Seeing as we're like a pop culture podcast, like we should be trying to get information.
No, I agree. I'm the same. I have the same conflicts.
but yeah, like I'm really sold. Like I absolutely adored Into the Spider-Verse and what they did with it. So like I don't see them going wrong, and they got Issa Rae on board. So it's a done deal for me. I'm in.
I agree. Do you know what? I'm the same as you, you know, just to add on to that. Like, I have lately been just like, yeah, I just, if I have an idea, even just the other day, I caved and watched the Dying Light, that gameplay kind of trailer, like showcase. And I was like, I wasn't going to watch it. I'm just going to wait for the game. I'm just going to wait for the game. And I ended up sitting there watching it. Then I ended up watching the Horizon one. And I just felt filthy afterwards. But then I'm like, wait, no, we have a podcast. We should be watching these things and talking about these things.
Yeah, yeah. I did that with Horizon because you know famously my position is it's a good game with a good story, but I hate playing it. And then I watched the gameplay for Horizon Bad West, Good West. and I was like, damn, this looks like it'd be great to watch. Like I don't want to play it.
Yeah. Nah, I'm excited. But yeah, shout out to Issa Rae. Just bounced about there. But moving on to lovely rich people stuff. And I still don't understand this. There is an Among Us looking chicken McNugget that sold for $100,000 on eBay. Did you see this?
I don't eat fast food, so this is doubly like, what the fuck?
I should show you a picture of it. I'll show you a picture, but it is literally just, you, I mean, you think of an Among Us character, right?
I know what they look like. Do you know, but this, I mean, this is gonna sound crazy, but like, do you know there was that Jesus, the woman who saw Jesus in a slice of toast?
Oh yeah.
And she like famously sold that on as well. So I'm like, maybe we just like food and we like,
no. Do you know what? Yeah, the thing that I find shocking about this this chicken nugget thing is, if you think of an Among Us character, the thing is, with Jesus, whether you think it's white Jesus or brown Jesus or whatever Jesus, there was a face carved into that toast. If she carved it herself, that was like a level of artistry, right? An Among Us shape, if you take out the little space and think about the shape, it is a basic shape. It is almost like the shape of a chicken McNugget.
Literally, we were calling them nuggets when that game first came out. We're like, look at these little nuggets, right?
Yeah, nuggets with legs. So then picture a nugget that has little legs. That's what it is. And it sold for so much. I think part of that, though, is also because it was part of some BTS McDonald's meal. I don't know, like a promotional meal, but bloody hell, man. What are you supposed to do with that nugget?
There's that thing, pareidolia, you know, where you see objects and things that our brain is just trying to like map the patterns to try and make sense of things, right? Like, you know, seeing a face in Mars and those kind of things. And yeah. I'm just like, that's fine to have that, but like, keep your money in your pocket. I think is my stance on this.
I mean, do you know what? A lot of stuff that is happening right now in terms of like inflation and things is because people have money in it and they just be like, you know what? I mean, look at this Mayweather and Jake Paul fight. Logan Paul, Jake Paul, I can't even remember which one. Like, Hassan, have you not? No, Hassan, don't. Are you telling me you...
I'm so like, I love boxing.
No, but so this like is not this is not even boxing anymore. This is just
that's my point.
Shenanigans.
That's why, like, every time I hear their name, I instantly just, my hackles raise. Where I'm like, oh, stop it, just please stop.
Listen,
did you watch it?
I saw them talking about how they're only gonna win. You can only win by a knockout. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, what is this? Is this like Super Mario Boxing 64? Like, I could already,
shit's punch out.
Do you know what I mean? And do you know what? I've even now, I've seen some clips of the fight, and I kid you not, like Mayweather is holding Logan Paul up. He's holding him up. Like, I've seen a video where he knocks him out, but he's still holding him up. Like, we're at this level now. It's just pure entertainment and finessing people that are willing to pay for these pay-per-views, because the kids are going to pay for it. Some of these rich kids pay for it anyway.
The worst part is, it's just like, Mayweather's been a professional boxer his entire life. How did you think this was going to go? Like, how? Come on, bro. Like, if you're too stupid to realize this, you don't just... someone should have stepped in, right? That just pisses me off, man. Like, really pisses me off.
Someone should have stepped in and interrupted whoever bought that flipping chicken McNugget. I just put it in the did you see that? I put it in the Discord, by the way.
Mate, I hate it.
Freeze dried. Apparently they're freeze drying it and, you know, sending it over for integrity.
Oh my god.
Whatever.
I'm gonna change NFT to NET, non-edible transaction.
Do you know what it reminds me of, right? Wait, was it Inside Number 9? You watch Inside Number 9, right?
The anthology show.
The Make a Wish episode. Did you see that one?
I haven't. Okay, I'm gonna watch it though.
it's basically this. Like, I mean, the synopsis is like a celebrity dies, but they have his dying breath. Is what I'm gonna say. And
oh my god,
all types of shenanigans ensue.
Man, like, I know we're doing news, but man, I love that show. That show is great.
And that's basically the stage, right? I mean, memorabilia, right? If someone finds value in it, someone else is gonna make money off it. Mm. But yeah, on to more serious capitalistic affairs. The 30 series of graphics cards were released, the TI series anyways. The 3080 TI dropped, obviously it instantly sold out. I think the 3070 Ti is coming out in a couple of days, I think 10th of June.
Yeah,
and the thing is, right, what I think is outrageous is, like, there's a shortage of these things already, right?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I'm not a graphics card engineer. I don't manufacture these things. I would believe if you had materials that are left over from, you know, the 3070s or the 80s that you're making, you would try and make some more affordable, like make more of the mid-range cars. But what they've done instead is release a 3080 Ti, which is essentially a diet 3090. And the 3090 is the most powerful graphics card in the market. That's the one that's like £1,300 or whatever. That is a rough price. It's we've gone past £1,000 and made one slightly less powerful than that for maybe a couple hundred quid cheaper, and then come out with another card that is in between the 3070 and the 3080. Like, it's you're making cards like 3070s are mid-range cards now, and these cards were top end and they're expensive, and now we're getting back into, like, I'm sure you know about when the 20 series came out and they were just really expensive, and it's like, what the fuck? And it's like, it's just, I just think it's so weird. Like, unless jump in.
I feel like they are, it feels almost kind of willfully like they're making sure that this kind of scarcity continues by releasing like these separate kind of ranges instead of actually like making more of the ones that people actually can buy or want to buy. Like, right now, like, what game or like what do you have that can really use a 3090? Nothing, right?
This is top end 4K performance we're talking about.
And the only people who are going to buy those, have the money to buy those, are going to buy those. They're not going to buy the other ones. So the only people who are going to suffer are the people in the mid-range.
The mid-range
don't have another option.
Yeah, and that is the majority of their Nvidia's market, like, you know, the mid-range, and you're catering more to its top range. On top of the fact that there's a shortage of these suppliers, it's just like, and they're still selling out. It's crazy, you know, like, it is absolutely crazy. You can't get any of these cards anywhere. When the 3070 comes out, I might have a pop and see if I can buy one just to see, but like, it's just shocking, really.
Mate, the scalpers are really having a field day. Like, really having a field day. And like, the way that they're, like, NVIDIA are playing this is only making it harder for people to get graphics cards, like, normally anyway. Or, like, at any sort of reasonable price. Because it's like, if you get, like, what, a 30 Ti is what, like, 500 quid brand new, right?
What, sorry?
Like, the 30, what's one you got? The 3020?
I have a 3070.
Right.
Mine was, I think, 460. I got it for retail price.
But yeah, so getting the 80 is going to be, what, 600, 700?
Yeah, 380 is about, I can get it right now. I think it's about 600 quid.
The 3080 Ti is going to be, like, a whole PC with a monitor and, like, and everything else for that price. Like, that's ludicrous. It's ludicrous.
Do you know what it is about PCs, though? It's just the unfortunate thing of, like, when the options are available to you, you start being like, oh yeah, you know, someone now can say to you, see, if you get this graphics card, you can get a bit more extra shading and texture. And they start talking about tensor cores and CUDA cores, and then you get all sucked into the jargon and the hype. Obviously, these components do have very specific roles, and they do affect the performance of the PC, but it's how you get upsold. It's how you get upsold on anything, isn't it? To be honest.
Absolutely.
But a lot of people, I think, especially us as well, like, we tend to be quite just passionate about these things in general. We will look at these things, but there's a lot of just your average Joe gamer who wants to play PC and just wants to have a good time on maybe 2K with a decent frame rate. You can't get any card at the moment. And I don't expect them to start manufacturing low end cards again, but at least do mid range cards. Like, how are you putting out these next TI, 3070 TI? What's going to be next? What is going to be next when you can't just restock on the cards that people want?
Or at least drive the price down for the cards that are pretty much obsolete at this point. If you're not, if you're only going up like to 3090 or like the 40 range was going to be after that, make sure that the 70s are cheaper or people have a way to get their hands on them, right?
Yeah, look, I'm just looking at it now. You get a Founders Edition 3070 on eBay goes for like $1,000. And that's the same card that I got for 60. Ugh, sorry, tongue tied. And remember, I told you when I sold my 1660, I sold that for like £300 and I bought it for like 180. Look, that was just what was going in. I don't know what to say.
You guys can't see my face, but oh my look, God.
The opportunity came. Do you know, I just Googled how much they go for, and I was like, oh, okay. And I went down a little bit on my price and someone bought it instantly. I didn't even realize they bought it.
I need a PC and I'm just sweating. Like you're listening off these numbers.
So yeah, it's at a stage with PC building that like you have to build exactly for what you want. You need to know, like, I don't need 4K, I don't need 2K. I know exactly what I want and I'm gonna build around that way. But I just feel so bad that these things seem they're not gonna like go back to normal anytime soon. Like the supply, I don't know how the supply for these things are. I can't remember the component that a lot of these things need, if you get what I'm saying.
Some bullshit,
boy. But anyway, we've lamented enough on that. Sorry, let's move on to not just news, I guess. BioShock 4 might be returning to BioShock. Was it BioShock 1 or 2 roots in the sense that it might be a timed exclusive on the PS5.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Rapture. Now I'm very sad.
Oh, sorry. I'm not thinking like, I'm not on that train of thought today. Sorry.
No, it's all good. It's all good. It's all good.
But I think it's quite interesting why they've chose to do this now. I can't remember where. Go on, Hassan. Sorry.
No, sorry. I was about to cough. I think, honestly, like, you know my position. My position is I don't want exclusives, right? I don't think exclusives are healthy for like, the player base. Saying that, though, there is no generation. Like, we don't have a generation this generation. So, like, there has to be some sort of exclusivity to kind of warrant having two consoles. But we'll get to that later.
Add the caveat there that it is a rumor, but still, like you said, part of me is like, you know, I'm over like console wars now, and to be fair, but it would be a timed exclusive if anything, but also like I have a PS5 and I'm just there like, huh, Ratchet and Clank's coming out soon,
mate,
or it's out, maybe
for real. Yeah. Time wise, I think
by the time this drops, it might be out.
Yeah.
I think it's coming out in a couple of days, but yeah, it's. But still, at least we hear there's games that are planning to totally utilize the PS5. Maybe we'll see.
one day.
And literally on that note, God of War, obviously has been delayed until 2022, and been announced for the PlayStation 4. As we know, Corey Balrog has received some abuse, and I think Alana Pierce more specifically. I couldn't actually find what was said to her, and I don't really care to be honest with you.
It's pretty disgusting, like, yeah, what they were saying to her. Doesn't really bear repeating.
Yeah,
it's just,
yeah, I had a feeling.
If you're angry about the game being delayed, think what was that quote where it's like a good game can be delayed, like a bad game is like Rush, right?
Oh yes,
I think it's the gist of it. But I'd much rather wait for a game. Like, I swear, the way that people forget how Cyberpunk just came out, it's mind boggles.
You know what? I feel like there's so many layers to these things, you know. And we could even start talking about people not being happy with what's going on in society at the moment, and kind of just being, and being outraged at things. I mean, there was a similar thing that happened with, was it God of War 2? When God of War 2 was meant to be on the PlayStation 3, I believe it came out on the PlayStation 2. I might need to fact check that. But I feel like just, you know, in this kind of social media age, people are just, they just be getting upset for no damn reason. Do you know what I mean?
Yep. We did a whole thing about this. Like, if you're legitimately upset because you really wanted to play a game, that's okay. The moment you start taking that out on people, it's not. The moment you start being abusive to people, it's not okay. Like, being frustrated isn't going to kill you. That's fine. Like, we can all be frustrated by things out of our control. Totally cool. The moment you start DMing people or emailing people these, like, horrible, abusive things, that's on you. Like, that's 100% on you. I think, like, frankly speaking, it's a really good thing that the God of War 2 is coming out to, God of War Ragnarok is coming out on the PS4, because there's a lot of people who don't have a PS5.
Yeah,
and it's not like monetarily like a viable thing for people to just go out there and buy a whole new console right now. Like, what, 500 quid? And then pay 70 quid on top of that again.
You mean like 600? Well, 500 for a discless, maybe.
Yeah, no, but that's what I'm saying. And then you got to pay 70 quid on top of that as well. Nah, bro. It's just like, pick your battles as well. There's like, there's some things to be upset about and to kind of like kick up a fuss about. But even then, that doesn't mean you should be abusive to people either. Like, that, this is a good thing. Like, this is a net positive for everyone.
We we will come back to that. Not saying I disagree, but just saying we'll come back to that. But before we do, I just want to talk a little bit about Netflix. They have their Geeked Week, which I actually didn't know was happening until you told me.
I didn't totally find out today either.
Fair enough. And it's weird because I've been, Ram's watching her one film a day, so like we've been watching a ton of all sorts of just random films on Netflix primarily, and I just had no idea that this was happening. By the way, there's a film we watched yesterday. I think it was called Tales of the Future Folk or something like that. It was a good film. It was
good.
Irreverent. It was funny.
Okay.
I think you would like. I know you would like it.
Yeah. Is it on Netflix?
It is literally on Netflix. We watched it yesterday. Apparently, it's a film based on a comedy duo.
I've been like reading a lot of manga recently, so like I need something to kind of detox from that. So I'll watch it tonight.
Yeah, it's proper good fun. But yeah, so we are. I mean, well, by the time this episode drops, the week will be over. But you'll be able to go back and check it out, I suppose. I believe today there's some Umbrella Academy hijinks going on.
There's Money Heist, Umbrella Academy, Sandman. There was
some stuff.
Yeah. So they showed like the set, and like Neil Gaiman came on and was talking a bit. They did an interview, like a really interesting interview with Mark Miller, who did Jupiter's Legacy, Kingsman.
Sorry.
No, I led with that for a reason. So he did Jupiter's Legacy, he did Kingsman, he did Kick-Ass. Like, he's a legend of the comics industry. Like,
yeah, he is. Miller, I mean, does he have a deal with Netflix? He does.
Yeah. They bought out Millerworld.
Millerworld, that's the one. But what I saw yesterday, that I don't know if it was part of Geeked Week, but this is what I was telling you about, was the Vader cut, which is, I guess his King Vader's sort of parody on Army of the Dead. Are you familiar with King Vader? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, the YouTuber, the black guy.
The black guy. That guy. He's got like I don't know how long it was, but it was on Netflix YouTube channel. That's why I was quite I was like, oh, okay.
It's a true parody if you did 5 hours.
Yeah. But I guess you could check that out when it comes. Well, by when this comes out, all the days would have been done. I think they're like 2 hours a piece, aren't they, roughly?
Mm.
So yeah,
I jumped halfway out to get into the recording, but it was good fun. It was good fun.
I mean, these things usually are. I love a BTS more than anything, to be fair. But yes, let's rewind a bit and visit that pig of God of War. No, actually, before that, E3 is next week. We will be talking all about it. And just quickly, before we talk about the generation, I want to ask you, like, what are you looking forward to? What kind of predictions do you have?
I think we're going to get like a lot more solid dates. I think people are going to be quite upset about the things that we're waiting for are going to be like longer in the release. I just think like with the pandemic and with the way that a lot of games that have been rushed recently, like have been received, the big studios are going to wait on releasing stuff. Like Starfield is going to be next year. 100% it's going to be next year. I think if we're honest, I think Halo probably should be next year just because of like how much shenanigans was going on. It probably should be like for the best like product to come out, for the best game for us to play, right? It probably should come out next year, right? I'm trying to think like, God of War's like delayed. There's Horizon Zero Dawn is going to be out. Ratchet and Clank's out. So they're probably going to show like more of those games. But
yeah,
I think we're going to see a lot more delays.
I agree with you. I think we're going to just get solid announcements, things that we kind of already know are in the works, things that we've seen that we kind of know and have solid dates for. I mean, I think about the Nintendo the Nintendo presentation and their last few presentations. I'm not quite sure what we're going to get. I know what I would like, but I mean, do you think we're going to get like Breath of the Wild 2?
No, I don't think we are.
Like, it's E3 though. It is E3.
They've already kind of been saying that, like, remember the Zelda 35?
Oh, yeah. With,
they said that it's nowhere near ready.
So
we're not going to get. I want any information about it. I just want to know more about it.
You think we're going to get any Metroid 4?
Bruv, we haven't heard Metro in this house for 4 years. Hopefully that could be like a good game stealer for them to like bring out finally some Metro. I really hope like Castlevania like turns up, but Konami is Konami, bro. So we don't know.
Yeah, we don't.
What I really, really want to see this E3, like more than anything else, is indie games. Like that's kind of where my heart, my passion is. There's also a game called Atomic Hearts. Do you know about that one?
No, I don't.
Right. So this game is
enlighten me.
Mate, it looks like, think like a Russian inspired kind of cosmonaut propaganda kind of Soviet era kind of thing. An RPG in a BioShock sort of way where everything's falling apart and going wrong, but there's also like
I've seen this. It's a double A type game. Yeah.
I'm hella excited for that, but like we ain't heard no information for ages, so hopefully we get some more. That and Stalker 2. I really want to see more of that.
Do you know what? Even though I've been playing The Legend of Zelda, right? Maybe I'll talk a little bit more about it at the end. And even though it's a Nintendo, the first one, the very first one, and obviously it's a Nintendo published game, but obviously it came out in a time where I guess almost the indie mentality of developing was everywhere. That was what gaming was. And just playing it really makes me want to just bang out a whole load of old/indie games. It is really unforgivable. It's ridiculous. I'll talk about it at the end, but
I'll make you a list.
Oh God, please don't be too cruel.
No. I'll show you some good stuff, man. Don't worry.
I personally would like to see, and I know the Switch Pro rumors have been all over the gaff. I'm not gonna lie, I think my Switch is behaving a bit strange lately. Like when I'm trying to detach and attach the Joy-Cons, I can't lie, it might be a like time to get a new one. And if there's a Switch Pro out, depending on the price, I wouldn't mind. I want some more Zelda remasters, like anything. I'll take anything, the Game Boy Advance ones, even a Wind Waker, and even ones that have been remastered already. I can't lie, when it comes to Xbox, I'm not ready. Not really. That's fair. I wouldn't mind a Bethesda, some sort of Bethesda announcement.
there's a whole event.
No, but like a good, like depending on what's like in the event, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think like a lot of the time when we hear Bethesda, we tend to just think the Bethesda studios. So we think Elder Scrolls, we think Fallout.
Yeah. Right?
Mm. But like Wolfenstein's been quiet for a bit. And the Wolfenstein games are phenomenal. Like the reboot that came a few years ago with like Old Blood and all those games, like they're so good. They're so, so good.
Is there a thing with, I was just going to ask, is it with Microsoft?
Yes. Yeah. But it's Bethesda's owned by Microsoft. So like,
do you think we can get some good like Deathloop stuff maybe?
Hope that's Bethesda as well though.
So yeah, I know, but now because it's, you know, because of the whole PlayStation thing, you know, obviously. Oh no, but it'll be on Microsoft as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
it'll be weird on the Microsoft stage being like, yeah, definitely PlayStation 5.
No,
yeah.
I think it'll be the ultimate flex where they just give you like, yo, Jim Ryan, pay me my money.
Once you buy Xbox, yeah.
Yeah.
I hear that would be a bit mad still, I can't lie. But yeah, do you know what? I'm looking forward to E3. I'm surprised. I mean, I thought E3 was kind of dead. When it's like, I'm not super excited, but I do look forward to the announcements that, you know, we all like, if we say, I'm not going to watch Xbox. We're going to wake up and look for the trailers, isn't it?
I think it's like the truly British side to us. We're just like, no, I'm not going to have fun, but I'm going to watch it. I'm not going to have fun. You can't make me have fun.
I want to know what happens, but I don't want to enjoy it.
Yes, exactly. The FOMO, but angry.
exactly that. But let's now return to the peg of God of War's delay, because we're going to talk about this, Jen. I mean, do you know what? I feel like these new consoles have been out for ages for some reason.
It's been over a year. Like, it's definitely been over a year. So, like, it was 2019 Christmas time they came out.
Yeah, but I guess, do you know what? I guess just being in the social sphere so much more, I just feel like everyone's always got, like, I don't know. But yeah, they've been out for a while. And what's just remarkable is the amount of games that have come out on these consoles, right? Also, I guess just the way that, let's say, PlayStation and Xbox has handled this generation. Obviously, we can't dance around the fact that, you know, COVID-19 happened. Production on many fronts kind of came to a grinding halt. People were speculating very early on in the pandemic how it's going to affect these things. And we knew the writing was always going to be the wall. It was never going to be a normal launch. I think what was not interesting, but maybe not surprising, is how some people thought maybe they might, you know, hold off and wait a little bit before releasing it. But instead, that, you know, both Microsoft and Sony doubled down and dropped their consoles. And just to say, so far, as far as I'm aware, there isn't an Xbox Series X exclusive as of yet. I could be wrong.
They got the timed stuff.
Like what?
Medium.
Medium is a timed exclusive, but now it's apparently it's going to come out in the PlayStation 5 in the future. And on PlayStation, we have what? Astro's Playroom. I kind of get annoyed that people count that, but sure, it does showcase the controls. So yeah, we've got Demon's Souls, we've got Astro's Playroom, and we've got Returnal. Obviously, the reason I mentioned God of War was because God of War was supposed to be, Miles Morales was supposed to be a PS5 exclusive. I just realized.
Yeah. Oh my god, I completely forgot about that game.
And obviously, I don't know if Horizon Forbidden West was ever. I mean, it probably was. I think that's the thing why people are outraged, and maybe this kind of goes back to the whole Alana Pierce abuse, is that it's quite obvious that the direction that Microsoft's going in, right? We've spoken about this before on the pod. Some people don't like it. It doesn't matter. The point is, Games Pass, they don't care about hardware. I'm sure there was a report that came out that showed they don't really make that much They don't make profit off of their game at Microsoft in terms of the game side, something like that anyway. All they care about is you on Games Pass. They will put that Games Pass on the Switch.
If yeah, they no, can. For real.
They'll put, you'll be having that on your PlayStation. You'll open your PlayStation and go into Games Pass.
it's the same pretty much for Sony as well. Like the money's made in the marketplace. It's not made on the hardware. Because like the hardware is a cost of entry, but they want to continually make money. So they make that by charging the games that go through their market, right? That's how they make their money.
Yeah. But
the more games we buy, the better they do.
Mm-hmm.
With Xbox, it's a slightly different kettle of fish because the Xbox marketplace is the PC marketplace. Like, because it's Microsoft. Like, Microsoft have no interest in segregating their player base. None. Makes no sense for them to do so.
Yeah.
And they've been like, they've been working hard at kind of making their storefront kind of more unified as a brand rather than just being the PC marketplace and the Xbox marketplace. It's one marketplace. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think, the issue with Sony is with anyone, isn't it? It's when you're a winner. If you won, you know, they won last generation, you feel, you know, if you're renowned for having, everyone likes to be a snob, right? So, you know, in that, when you hear that, you know, Sony's got the games, they've got the experiences, it's very easy to be like, oh, well, we don't care about like playing Sony games everywhere. We want to play them on PlayStation because we are fans of PlayStation. So there's that. Look, Hassan, I'm not saying I advocate for this culture. I'm just saying the culture exists. We all know.
I'm not shaking my head at you, bro. Don't worry. Like, I'm just, the mind boggles at like the way that people kind of do the mental gymnastics to go, Sony is my friend. That's gonna make me pay £70 and £500. Yeah, they're my friends. And if there's a better place I can buy this, or a cheaper place, or a more kind of like a manageable financially place that I can play or do this, fuck them. Like that makes no sense to me. Like, it makes no sense ever.
The sense of belonging is quite remarkable, actually.
Mm-hmm.
To be fair, but I feel like that has led maybe some weird marketing choices by Sony, and I feel like that's why they felt like they were able to say these things with their chest about like being all about, you know, generation, like a generation platform, and not be cross generation. Obviously, Xbox don't have when you don't have any games to keep, you know, what you either got to put, you've either got to invest in making the games, or you can, if you've already got money from other endeavors like PCs and stuff, you could just buy
software
developers, to make it for you, and try and promote the it's like a slap with a smile, like promote the Games Pass, and it's like, if you don't like this, you're technically, why don't you like this, huh?
that's my conversation with you. I'm just like,
yeah. No, and do you know what? I kind of get more and more tired as the as time passes. I mean, my point is, I would never think that, oh, if you like tough, I don't care about you not having experience because you don't have the console.
Mm.
But it's just like, you know, if you've kind of marketed this console as this thing and said, you know, do you know what? I'm gonna read some of the lovely Jim Ryan's quotes here. So I quote, "We have always said that we believe in generations. We believe that when you go to all the trouble of creating a next-gen console, that it should include features and benefits that the previous generation does not include. And that, in our view, people should make games that can make the most of these features. We do believe in generations, and whether it's the DualSense controller, whether it's the 3D audio, whether it's the multiple ways the SSD can be used, we are thinking that it is time to give the PlayStation community something new, something different, that can really only be enjoyed on the PS5. Obviously, I think this was before or around the launch, so obviously things have changed a little bit.
A tiny bit.
Since then, and some people argue that maybe on the Sony side specifically, like we both said, like Xbox has been more open, have been like, you can keep your One X. I can't even remember the old generation names. One X plus one Xbox One, the powerful one, the One X, the One S, the One SX.
And then, like, I don't know, bro.
The powerful one. You can keep that. You can play on your phone. You know, shout out Josh. He's a very big advocate of Games Pass, believe me. They've kind of been very like, if you want to get it, get it. But, you know, and even this fact that they even came out of a Series S anyway, you know, that can have some of the next-gen features and but come at a affordable price, and Sony's just kind of been like, no, we're doing this. Trust me. Trust me, buy the console. Trust me, you're going to be missing out. And now, obviously, I managed to get mine at retail price, but all of those people that, there's people that sold their PS4s to get a PS5 to find out God of War is on PS4.
Bro, I could not be more smug right now. Can I fully admit that? I just, like, I remember, like, when the consoles were coming out, and it was, like, when everything was, like, kind of grinding to a halt with COVID. And when we were talking about it, you're like, oh, what console are you going to get? What are you going to go for? I was like, I'm always probably going to get the Xbox, because I missed out on the last generation Xbox, so I want to kind of catch up on all their older stuff, as well as look forward to some of the new stuff and the Games Pass. But I'm not rushing. There's no reason for me to rush. Like, there's absolutely none. Like, I did it with the PS4 generation as well, where I was like, I'm not going to buy a PS4 until there's games enough for me to want to. Right?
I'm not going to lie. Since I've been able to afford start working, it started with a PS4. But, like, I totally agree with you. I'm going to flip it, though. I'm going to flip it and say, like, do you think it is kind of halting the creative process of some of these games, where maybe they can't be, like, developed to their full potential, because now you're going to have to create another version of the game that's going to run on a different system, that's going to run differently, and maybe some things that if it was a Xbox Series X exclusive or a PS5 exclusive, that they might be able to slap a lot more in terms of, you know, like, optimization and graphics. I mean, do you think about that at all? I know the thing is, because you're an indie fan, sometimes I think you just don't, you're not really, you're all about creativity in a less power driven way, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, for me, the gameplay is the key. I don't need a game to be photorealistic. I don't need to see water reflecting for me to enjoy the game. That's not to say that those aren't titanic and beautiful and brilliant efforts that people put in to make these, like, wonderful games, right? But for me, like, I'm very punk about it. It's not the aesthetic, it's the message, right? With new consoles and with, like, new AAA stuff, I'm always eventually gonna get there. So, like, it's all good. Like, I don't want to ever speak to the load of work that the developers do, though, because, like, I don't know. Like, I wouldn't know if it's easier to port up than it is to port down, right? Because those aren't the same effort. Those aren't the same work. And working for the PS5, the architecture is going to be different to the PS4, right? Mm. And I don't know, like, how difficult either of those two things are to program for. I don't.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's things like, I think, you know, DualSense and audio things might be all right, but I think maybe when it comes down to the SSD, that's where you might run into issues. I don't know, I'm not a games developer. Mm. That being said, though, I think it comes down to having, not, I don't want to say principle, yeah, but I guess because I am someone who's like, yeah, all right, you can have my money.
Yeah.
But I tend to be like, I do enjoy, like, I've had such a good time playing Returnal. Obviously Ram's got the PlayStation to play Mass Effect, and I'm very sorry about it. But also I have my PC here anyway, and I've got Resident Evil 8 to play. But even playing Resident Evil 8, obviously that's on my PC, but when I just look at these new games and how they've changed graphically and just the details, like, obviously, like, part of me is like, yeah, I don't need this really. I'm just running through the city anyway. But part of me just is like, This is so pretty,
mate. For real. Do you know, like, when shadows move and behave appropriately to like how real world like physics works? I love it. It just instantly, I'm like, yes. It's just like, yes, this is so good.
It's, and yeah, that's my like thing where I guess the most accurate thing for me to say is I'm here for like advancement of technology and stuff. I'm a tech fan in general, but if that advancement has to be halted, I'm more of a community person and an experienced person. So if that advancement has to be halted so that everybody can experience something, I don't care. I don't care if my pad was going to rumble 365 ways and now it only rumbles 100 ways. I don't mind. If the PS4 guys, you know, to be honest, if I really want to like play something really powerful, I'd try to get it on a PC anyway. So
let's do it.
But my two questions, like I asked before to you, Hassan, is do you think this generation could realistically have been delayed? Obviously, we don't know financial and business implications, but
That's why I was going to say no, because like as much as there's nothing to port onto there or to sell from there, really, like exclusive wise, it's a huge amount of money they still made from selling them. And there's a huge amount of money they're still making from selling them. Like, because as much as like the scarcity that kind of played like the launch, like people are still buying them. Like people are still buying these consoles. These consoles are still working and they're still cutting edge and like the loading stuff is amazing. And like there are reasons to have them. It's just not enough for me. You know what I mean?
By the way, this came out. They came out in 2020, November 2020. So it hasn't been a year. Sorry.
Okay.
Just changed. Yeah. Go on though.
Continue. Yeah, but like, could it have been delayed? No, because like, for the most part, there was nothing to fix. The consoles are perfect, right? They are at their optimal, and like, the hit that they would take as a company from delaying consoles would affect way more than a game being delayed.
Yeah, I think it was inevitable. I guess it comes down to how you damage control, and I suppose that would go back into why people are kind of outraged with the whole Sony marketing campaign, the way they've kind of still tried to be like, despite all of this, like try to hold on to that kind of elitist notion. Or I mean, I don't even think they cared about that. I think they know that if they carry on with that kind of line of marketing for people will buy the consoles. You have to wait till they have the consoles before you tell them, oh, it's going to be on PS4 too. Because people will mid-transaction be like, maybe I'll wait, because Returnal's, I think, is a very much underrated game. Demon's Souls is not a very accessible game. We haven't gotten Uncharted. We haven't got that next. It's literally God of War and Horizon. That's the next like that was going to drag in the biggest crowd that might be waiting to get the new gen. And if they're both on, you know,
the PS4,
yeah, then there's no rush. I mean, maybe they're at a point where they've realized this shortage is going to go on for a while. There's no point kind of hiding it at this stage, you know.
Like, I think that's what they were doing for the most part, like kind of early on with Jim Ryan's kind of statements. It was they were trying to bluster past the realities of the current situation, and it just isn't tenable. Like, if this was like what 2015 when the PS4 and the Xbox One came out, yeah, people would have bought the new consoles and would have been in a financially kind of safer place to do so, and it would have been easier to then go this generation's over, right? Yeah. But like, Sony still needs to make money, right? They still need to sell these games. They still need to have a community interacting with these games, especially the bigger ones, or like the AAA games that they're spending millions to make. So limiting to a very niche market that has the PS5 is not in their interest.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. One thing I will note though, is I feel like, oh no, I could be wrong. I'm probably going to miss out a whole bag of PlayStation 4 games, so let me not say it. I feel like that the PS4 launch was quite scarce in itself, no? Like,
oh yeah, it was. Last generation was dog shit.
I remember Killzone. Do you know what? I remember when I got my PS4 and me and one of my boys, Kevin, Kevlar, he streams, shout out Kevlar. Probably seen him with Tiana on COD. Me and him were the only ones that had P4, and it was just me and him, and like it was Killzone. What else was there? There was like a 2-2 games.
It was Knack, bro.
Knack, yeah, Knack, Killzone. I think the next year there was Infamous. Yeah,
yeah. And
it was kind of dead still. It was kind of dead. So and this generation drought is almost nostalgic.
Mate, I think them paying homage,
more expensive, much more expensive.
Yeah, for real. I think that's kind of where it lies, though. It's there was the added expense of this generation makes it more difficult a proposition than it was last time, because the lack of games was still there, but like people in work, and it was cheaper. So like, yeah.
And do you know what I was just about to say? That's another valid point. Like, I think we're at a crossroad where it, like, a big part of gaming that people don't realize is your monitor, for example, your television. My Josh, he was running a 720p TV until very recently, and he was just so like, we've got a group chat, a friend of mine, me and him are quite like, yeah, we like good graphics, and then Josh came out and said something like, yeah, I got a 720p TV, and then we were like, what? And he had he got the new Xbox as well, you know. But he was like, oh yeah, you know, he obviously him and his missus, they got a TV, and he was like, okay, 4K, see 4K, yeah, it's the ting. But before that, he wasn't that fussed, and he was quite satisfied with what he had. And when you go back to last gen, I feel like we were cusping 720/1080, and then 7-8 years later, with 1080 is still very like viable, but now the tech, the hardware is trying to push 4K. Look, the PS5 box is 8K. I laugh every time I look at it.
I'm like, look man, please don't at me with my 1080p monitor.
No, I'm not. It's not even a good thing. My point is, yeah. You could have a perfect, and you still can have a good experience on the PlayStation with a 1080p TV, but now everything's being marketed to a next resolution cap that is very much expensive to buy. We've been, again, the same way we've been on the 1080 like wave for a long time, we've been on the 30 frames a second wave on a long time. Now we're bleeding into 60. Neo 2 on the PS5 is like 120.
can I just say, like, with the frames versus the 1080p kind of thing, there's a big difference between like the functional thing between resolution and frame rate. You could give me a 720p monitor right now, and if you told me the games are going to run at 60 frames per second, I'd take it.
Yeah,
100%. If you were like, oh, I'll give you 20 frames a second, but it's going to be 8K, like, no, get out of here. I prefer the frames.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that the new normal now, I would say, is probably between 2K, 1440p, 120 frames, and 4K 60. And 4K monitors are expensive. Furthermore, 4K monitors that go past 30 are expensive. And there's things that you have to think about that you didn't have to think about before, and it's just adding a whole new expense on things, and it's like, where are the games to make you want to do this?
Exactly.
Ratchet and Clank. That being said, Horizon and Dying Light looked very good.
I think it's always like the first like 2 or 3 years of like the life cycle of any tech is going to be mad expensive, but like, there's going to be like that break moment where they figure out how to kind of make it cheaper, like manufacture cheaper, or to like find cheaper, like kind of materials that will work with this. Like, remember OLED screens, like when those first dropped?
Yep.
And that was like gold dust. Like, it was so expensive. But yeah, like now you get like OLED screens and anything you want, and they are crisp.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. Look, I was trying to buy a Game Boy Advance the other day, and I didn't realize there was a whole thing about front lit and back lit Game Boy Advance SPs. Yes. I was so young, my mum bought what? And I was like, oh, this was a whole technological advancement back in the day.
Mate, for real, for real.
I will say I'm hoping that E3 can get me excited for the next gen. I do like some, I think unfortunately, because of the situation we're in, what I would like is maybe asking a bit much, but I like a bit more than just performance updates, you know, utilizing some more of the sound on like the PlayStation and just the power of the Xbox, but still have that option instead of kind of just being like, yeah, they're just, you can play it 60 frames on that. And it might be 4K, and it might be 60 on 4K.
So what you're saying is you want Knack 3?
That's exactly what I want.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going to ask what you think about Sony's like shadiness, and do you think it's capitalism? But I feel like it's quite obvious. Like, you have to recoup your... If you're in a pickle, you're going to say what you're going to say. You're going to do what you're going to do.
Yeah, I think like anything, I'd much rather the company kind of be honest with their intentions. Like, CD Projekt Red wasn't. They got their comeuppance. You always get caught out. Like, if you do some shady shit like this, you're always going to get caught out. With Jim Ryan in particular, it's just the fact that, like, he's been time and time again kind of caught out for his shenanigans. Like, do you remember, like, him trying to get rid of the PSP storefronts and, like,
the older,
instantly going back in it? And, like, it's just, like, one thing after another with him. And it's just kind of, like, none of these things had to have happened. None of them. Not one. You chose to make these happen.
Yeah.
Why?
I guess you got to say what you got to say. I'm trying to find a list of... You know when you want to find a list of PS5 exclusives and they all have God of War on it and you're like, I can't trust you anymore.
You're out of date. God.
I think we've just got Gran Turismo and... what do you call it? Ratchet and Clank. Is there any? I mean, Halo's in the wind.
Yeah, but that's not going to be a console exclusive either. It's going to go on PC.
I think PC's fine. Is it going to go on the Xbox One though?
I mean, like, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, if we're being like frankly honest, because Microsoft are completely moving in a way that's about their consumers.
Mm.
And this, like, after the way and the way they've kind of just done with the games parts, if they go, yeah, man,
oh,
I wouldn't be surprised. I'd be happy, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. My last question to you is, do you think Games Pass will be on PlayStation 5 at some point?
I think there's going to be enough Games Pass games on Xbox 5 for it to kind of be a moot point. If we see, like, remember the MLB game?
Oh yeah.
I think that shit's so funny. The fact that it's a Sony game, a Sony made game, and it's on Game Pass, and Sony players out here paying 70 quid, and Xbox players are playing it for free. That is hilarious. That is so funny. And it's like, could you have ever imagined this set of circumstances? In the same year that they announced a timed exclusive for Sony that is owned by Microsoft.
It's weird. It's like you could ignore these things, but at the same time, we're heading into times where who knows what could happen. I personally don't think so, though. I think maybe next gen. I do think PS6. It might be seeing a Game Pass on the, if there is a PS6. I don't know. I think that is a very real reality. You know, just not this gen.
I think if this gen might break kind of consoles in gen as we know them.
Yeah. You're right.
It's a dangerous one where I don't want to say this is the last console generation ever, because I think people have been saying that for every console generation. But the paradigm has changed so drastically with at the same time with games becoming more expensive. So I don't know, bro.
And do you know what? It's so easy to get, like, just adding to that, I can fully see how we can transition into a storefront based thing where I mean, obviously the issue rises with, like, then why wouldn't everyone just start building PCs? At the same time, that would pose a whole new, like, economic thing with the PlayStation. They're still releasing their consoles or whatever, who knows. But it is quite interesting. I mean, you think about it, like, you just turn on your PC, you go Steam, this, that, and a lot of games you get discounted. Like, why am I paying £50 when I can get it every other month on a deal off Steam?
Mate, the most dangerous, when I used to, like, proper PC game back in the day, Steam sales was the most dangerous thing.
Listen, I've got all the fears. I've got so much horror games that, not The Descent, I can't remember what it's called, but, just because they were on Steam sales. I've got bare games that I might never play.
I still just, like, with Deadwood, when you recommended that, I walked down the road and I was like, nah, bro. I was like, nah.
That game, I love the art style and the gameplay of it so much, but I wasn't prepared to get good.
No.
I just wasn't prepared. I'm done with my rant. Have you got anything else to add about this console generation, this generation as a whole? I mean, I feel like we can throw the PCs in, because even the PCs having its own debacle with the graphics cards.
I feel like the greatest disrespect that we've held in our hearts is we haven't talked about Nintendo.
Listen.
Oh, we've talked for like an hour and we've said Nintendo like twice.
I've got a bit of a vent for a minute. Where are my Nintendo games? Where's everything? Nintendo, like, what did we get last year? We got Animal Crossing. What else did we get? Did we get that Zelda remake, or was that 2019?
That's the Link's Awakening was last year.
Oh, was that last year as well?
Yeah, that was last year.
Why
was that this year with the 35th anniversary?
We got Mario, we got Hyrule Warriors, we got Paper Mario, but I feel like the big, like, come on, all of that shit for the Pokemon DLCs that they nickel and dimed us for. Mm-hmm. Like,
it should have been in the main game. It's ludicrous that they added that as bonus content, like paid bonus content.
And this generation is older than this is like a mixed, like a half step generation, and somehow we have no F-Zero. There's so many Nintendo obscure we're in a time where people want these niche indie things. Imagine a mother, what mother are we on? Three? Imagine I was a mother four or a mother five.
A Nintendo event.
Come on now. We're gonna get some weird Japanese style indie looking games with swords. Anime boys with swords, probably.
You joke, but that's probably gonna happen. Because since Nintendo have like kind of been systematically pulling out, since Sony have been systematically pulling out Japan, there's a huge swathe of Japanese kind of developers and like Japanese RPGs that like need publishers. And like,
I Microsoft, love JRPGs.
Yeah, this is your bag, right?
So no, like, but Microsoft, I like good. I like ones that don't all look like animes.
You don't want Genshin Impact 0.5. I think like Microsoft have been swooping in, and like Nintendo are definitely swooping into like that void that Sony's putting up. I think hopefully, like, oh wait, we have to talk about the fact that Skyward Sword has that amiibo that has real impact in the game.
Oh, well, which I heard about this and I didn't really.
So one of the mechanics is you can go up to the sky, and now
and the loft wing. I might actually have that game in my house somewhere. But go on anyway. Sorry.
Yeah, so that's the paywalled behind an amiibo now.
Wait, what, to fly on the bird?
Yeah,
but wasn't that a game mechanic though?
Yes.
I need research.
Yeah.
What? Wait. I'm gonna look into this. I can't believe that, but wow. When was that announced?
It was like a couple of weeks after the game was announced.
Well, what a time to be alive, I guess. But Nintendo, they Nintendo slap you up with the egregious marketing anyway. Like, they'll be like, you want this? Buy this for 50. Like, I was watching this guy review like Nintendo World, and like he was just like, it's expensive. Obviously to be expected, but I'm just like, Nintendo, man, you really just be like, you love us. Look at Mario, look at Zelda, yeah,
mate.
Give us your money.
The way that we are just abused by nostalgia is disgusting. Because like, you know, like, as much as I complain about Pokemon Sword and Shield, I'm gonna buy Diamond and Pearl. Like, I'm going to, like,
you know what, yeah, so am I. I will say that is why I really enjoyed one thing, like Returnal, because of, I know I've said this, but just the fact that it wasn't a remaster, a remake, it was totally new, and I can appreciate that. But do you know what? I don't even expect that from Nintendo. I just expect a new Metroid and a new F-Zero and a new, you know, like not. I mean, people love Hyrule Warriors, but you know, give me some. Give me the good stuff. You know, we got a Smash, but it was very early, and obviously the Mario Kart. Why can't we have a new Mario Kart? You gave us Mario Kart 8 again. Give us some new tracks or something. I don't know.
I'm not gonna lie, man. I really, no really Mario like Kart Mario Kart 8. But like, if they release more DLC, I'll probably get it. Like, it's
no,
really
but
good.
imagine they switched it up though, because that's the thing with Mario Kart. You always love the latest one until stick. Like, you know what? Double Dash is still my jam. Like, I don't know, they could do a new art style, a new direction with a new track, you know, man. Mm-hmm, like, come mm-hmm. like, like, and I love Mario Kart 8 as well, but Wii U, it came out on Wii U. Like,
God, it did. But okay, listen, the Wii U doesn't exist. It's a fever dream. It's a 5-year fever dream.
Oh, Splatoon 3. We might get some of that on E3.
Mm.
Yeah. But anything else about Nintendo? Yeah. I mean, I say that like, say I haven't been banging on my Switch. I'm just gonna ask. No, you can talk about Switch being your indie machine. Go on.
Yeah, so the Switch is like my indie machine. I tend to play like a lot of kind of like walking simulators or like weird and like kind of stranger indie titles, or like kind of the
Deadly Premonition.
I have been playing Deadly Premonition again, actually. Weird, how did you pull that out of my brain? So weird, dude.
Psychic.
Oh my god, like I forgot how weird that game was, and then I played like 20 minutes of it yesterday and I was like, this is too weird. But yeah, like I played that game, the one about onset dementia on the Switch. I forget, I played that on there. Brilliant game. I tend to like play my kind of nuts and bolts, like kind of difficult games on the PS4, like the kind of more skill-based stuff on there, and then play like the more relaxing stuff on my Switch.
I hear that. I mean, I switch out indie for JRPG, and that's me. Like, it's my JRPG machine. And also, I like to, even like I said, I've been playing The Legend of Zelda, the first one, it's one of the NES classic titles. Every now and then, I do actually just browse through there, because I was, due to my age, Nintendo 64 was what I grew up with. So the SNES was a little bit before my time. So sometimes it's nice to go through iconic games and kind of play through the thing and see what made it so great at the time. But I hear you. That being said, though, you wouldn't mind a little 4K 60 Switch, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm shrugging very vigorously.
I hear that. I think it would be nice to have the option.
Oh, do you know what would be the worst thing?
Give us the budget version. Give us the high-end version.
If they come out with some 8K fur graphics on Tom Nook's ass, I'm gonna fight Nintendo. Doug Bowser, we're gonna fight, me and you.
a free 3D Switch just for Tom Nook's behind.
Oh my god. Just like bow, bow, bow.
Oh god, what have you been doing, Hassan? What have you been up to?
Oh man. I've been catching up like on a lot of manga recently. I started reading Attack on Titan again, and I kind of like reawoken like that kind of manga monster in me. I've been reading a sports manga, like an MMA one called All Round Omeguru, which is really good, like really, really good. It's got way more heart than I thought it'd have, like kind of going in. I thought it's just going to be kind of like a dumb schlocky shonen kind of thing, but it's really, really good. Attack on Titan, I'm reading that. I'm also playing like a bunch of games. So I picked up Necromunda, which I did for the review last weekend. And I've been having a ton of fun with it. I'm still having some issues with the controller support, but it is what it is with indie games.
Like, it is what it is.
I'm trying to think like what else have I been doing. I have been playing a bit of Animal Crossing again. That's probably why like my salt for Tom Nook is like so close to the surface.
Do you know what? I did wonder, that did seem a bit out of pocket.
Yeah, bro. It's never out of pocket with Tom Nook. Like, yeah, like that. Yeah, that's me, man. Descenders and Something Is Killing the Children. That volume three for that is coming out soon, and I can't wait, bro. It's so good.
No, I need to jump on that. Me, as I said earlier, finished. Oh, I don't know if I did say earlier or what was last week's episode. That was Love, Death and Robots, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that was a good one. I have completed Bravely Default 2, and I will never play it again. It was a good game, to be fair. It's just sometimes you just ain't got time these days, being adults and stuff.
You can't see it, but I put on some like cheerleader pom poms, and I'm like doing a vigorous cheer for Levi beating this game. God damn it!
I'm glad. And I've decided to jump straight into the Legend of Zelda 1.
Good choice. Good choice. You say that you masochist.
I do really enjoy. Sometimes you feel like you're cheating when you use guides and stuff, but I do really enjoy the whole culture of that. Would have been like you talking to your friends and saying, did you find this and that, and publishing maps and buying like those video game magazines and having the little hints and tips sometimes that weren't actually true or whatever. Like, it is somehow nostalgic of a time that I didn't really experience that much.
Do you know, I know what you mean. I grew up at the tail end of the SNES, so like that was like kind of my jam. Like, it would be really good fun if we got like a few people together, and one person plays and the rest don't have internet. We just try and piece it together through help memory.
That would be hilarious, so fun. Good. I've actually decided that I'm going to will collect all the Zelda games. I'm not sure how I'm gonna do it. But I would like at least one disc or cartridge of every Zelda game. And the Philips CD games will be last. I've going to do it now, like 100%.
By that time, we'll be streaming. We got to stream Wonder Gabalon somehow.
Oh my God. I hate it already. But apart from that, I've just been reading, you know, like Kaiju Number A. I have caught up with all my animes, To Your Eternity, One Piece. We are entering good times. Tokyo Revengers, and just reading the X-Men stuff. I know I mentioned it before, but the Hellfire Gala has commenced. We are in like the first batch of comics for the Hellfire Gala have come out. We've got some great costumes, some really good issues, some great interactions. Like, all of the Marvel heroes are like attending this. You know, there's actually been some actual celebrity cameos in the comics as well. Like, I can't remember now. I think Eminem was there. LP.
Hold on. Why? Like, there is so, like, if you had like given infinite monkeys infinite typewriters, they would never have guessed that.
Killer Mike and LP. Yeah, listen, it's
okay,
it's,
but like those two are nerds, like that makes sense.
I don't know. There's probably some other cameos as well. There's loads of, I guess what I love is it's the caliber of event. It's like the Oscars, like, you know, like that kind of event, and that's what like the all these world leaders are there. There's this like Deadpool's tried to like swim there by like a rowboat. There's the new X-Men roster is going to be revealed. It's like good times, and what we know so far is they've done this thing, I think it was in Marauders, where they skipped the main part of the gala and went to the end and showed everyone leaving. And some people were in disgust. Some people were like, this is great. So something's happened in this gala, some announcement or something that seems to be quite groundbreaking. And I'm looking forward to it, man. Like, the gala is good stuff, man. I'm loving the X-Men stuff. Hickman, oh, God. It's just so good.
Oh, dude.
He's done something, man.
I started watching MODOK.
I've heard very mixed things about MODOK.
It's good.
Is it? It's good. Might check it out. I've heard it's mind-numbingly good. Like,
bro, like, I'm very early in, but like, this is one of the best shows of the year already. This is it's very good.
Okay, okay. I'll check it out. And I'm waiting for more Trojan X. I'm a Shuichi the fan, and that first issue was just like, where is it? Like, we've had,
mate, it was so much more out there than I thought it was gonna be. Like, I had no idea what I was getting into, and then I was just like, everyone's spaghetti. this is awesome.
Yeah. Oh, and there was a new World Trigger chapter that doesn't come out that often, so I've always got to shout out World Trigger. I advocate for World Trigger always.
Yeah, same.
But yes, that is an episode. Hassan, do you want to tell the people where to find us?
Right. Drumroll. Let's go. We are the Nerd Alternative at Twitter without the E, at Instagram with the E, at Reddit without the E. You can find us on Google, Spotify, Apple, iTunes. Where else? We've been everywhere.
Anchor.
Podchaser at the Nerd Alternative. We are also on YouTube, so you can give us a subscribe and a follow. Please check out our videos and drop us a comment. Also, come chat to us on Twitter and
Insta,
on
YouTube, and Insta. Everywhere.
Yeah, because we're friendly and we're always here to goof. It's all good.
Yeah. That almost rolled off the tongue. it was smooth, to be fair. Oh, just before we go, I could be wrong, but I believe Ram told me that N.K. Jemisin's Broken Earth trilogy has a film deal. I could be wrong. That should have been in the news, but that's just randomly
just
back into my head. That even though that's not in the news, maybe
we have to go. But God, what a good note to go on.
Somehow Hassan might splice it in. Who knows? But let me just. I'm pretty sure because Ram was saying that they people were trying to say it's going to be like Game of Thrones, and she's like, no, it's not. Yes, so I'm just going to read the headline now. The Broken Earth trilogy, N.K. Jemisin is going to adapt the series into a film. Boom, bow. Sony Pictures Entertainment. There you go.
We did it.
Until next time.
Bye.
In the not too distant future, following the rapid succession of World Wars 3 and 4, plus the hidden horrors of secret World War 2, there's not much left. All that remains is a place where folks get together to read and discuss comic books. Sometimes they laugh, sometimes they argue, but they always record and upload their transmissions. You have found one of those transmissions today. Welcome to The Last Comic Shop. Rate, review, and subscribe to our weekly comic book reviews on all the major podcasting platforms at www.lastcomicshoppodcast.com.